Today is Rabbeinu Bachai on our parsha, which you'll see on page 3. And Rabbeinu Bachai derives a halacha from the pasuk in our parsha, Vayipol al Pneihem. And this is in Bamidbar Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Chav Beis. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, "Umikan l'nefilas apayim b'tfila." From this pasuk, which is referring to Moshe and Aaron, and I'll read to you the whole pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayiplu al pneim vayomru kel elokei haruchos." So this is in the aftermath of the Chet HaMeraglim. And Rabbeinu Bachai says, "Mikan l'nefilas apayim." Bitfila. Then, what's exciting here is that Rabbeinu Bachai gives 3 explanations for Nefilas Kapayim, 3 Kavanos. Ha'achas, he says, Lemora Shechina, meaning Tfila is Amidah Lefnei Shechina. And once a person is Lefnei Shechina, he's got to fall down. And that's called the Nefilas Apayim. Hashenis, the second kavan is Laharos Tsar Vachna. It means that he's in a state of anguish. He realizes that his life is tenuous. It's in the balance. Hachna means he accepts and he resigns himself to that situation. Hashlishis, Laharos, Asiras Chushov Ubitel Hargoshosov. It means he's absolutely committed to Hashem, to fulfill God's will. He has nothing of his own. His body, his senses, his emotions, nothing moves, nothing generates any sort of motion or feeling other than that which is for the sake of God. This is what you call a total self-negation. We call it Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. And Rabbeinu Bachai goes into great detail about each of these 3 meanings of Nefilas Apayim. I would like to study Nefilas Apayim from a halachic perspective. And we want to answer a few questions. The first question is, what's the relationship between Nefilas Kapayim and Tefillah? And that we begin with a Gemara in Bav Metzia on Daf Nun Tes Amid Aleph, going on to Amid Beis. The Gemara tells an entire story about the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, and at the end of that story, Rabbi Gamliel declares that Rabbi Eliezer has to be put into Shamta, into Nidui. And of course, Rabbi Eliezer naturally suffered a tremendous anguish on an ongoing basis after he was put into Nidui. And part of the reason he was put into Nidui, if you remember the whole story, he was defiant. He was insistent that he was right and the Chachamim were wrong, and he would not accept and renege his position. And the Gemara tells the following story, that Rabbi Eliezer's wife, by the name of Emah Shalom, who was also the sister of Rabbi Gamliel, who was responsible for putting Rabbi Eliezer into Nidui, she, from the time of the Nidui and on, would do whatever she could to prevent Rabbi Eliezer from Lemefal al Apel, from Tachnun, from the Nefilas Kapayim. The Gemara goes on to tell us a story about one particular day, which she mistakenly thought was Rosh Chodesh. She didn't think that he, Rabbi Eliezer, would fall nefilas apayim, and therefore she wasn't around to distract him and prevent him from nefilas apayim. And as a result, the Gemara tells us the story that she found her husband in a position of nefilas kapayim, and she was afraid of the worst. That as a result of his nefilas apayim, her brother Rabbi Gamliel would die, and that's exactly what happened. In other words, the anguish of Rabbi Eliezer, which reaches its pinnacle as almost a supplication in front of the Almighty, in nefilas apayim has a tremendous power to it. And that power is such that it could cause even the death of that person who is responsible for the anguish of the nofel al apav, in this case of Rabbi Eliezer. So she knew that his nefilas apayim had such a power to it, and his tzar was a result of what her brother Rabbi Gamliel had done to him by putting him into nidui. She knew that somehow, as a result of his nefilas apayim, something terrible would happen to Rabbi Gamliel, and that's exactly what happened. Now, the Ritva asks the following question, and this is again right below the Gemara on your page 1. Tmiya Milsa, I don't understand. Hech efsha shelo tozuz mimenu kol hayom. He's not asking a halachic question, he's asking a technical question. How was she able to make sure that Rabbi Eliezer would not be nofel al apav during the course of the entire day, was lozoza mimenu kol hayom? Says the Ritva, Mikan mevi Rabbeinu Raya. There are different opinions here who Rabbeinu is in the Ritva. I have a footnote that says it was the Ra'ah, Rabbi Aaron Alevi. The Beis Yosef assumes it was the Rajba. She'asur lahafzik besicha ubidvarim acherim she'enom shel tefila bein tefila l'nefilas apayim. In other words, she was able to accomplish her goal simply by guaranteeing that he would be distracted before he would be nofel al apav. And once he would be distracted and get involved in something else, or sicha bidvar macherim, or talking about something else, that would create a situation where it would be impossible for him to be nofel al apav. And as a result, she would guarantee that the day would pass by without nefilas apayim. She didn't have to be with him the entire course of the day. And that's the approach of the Ritva. And the Beis Yosef quotes the Ritva, and this you'll see on page 3. First, we'll take a look at the tour on the bottom of your page. Arachaim Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph. And the tour writes, Li'acher she yisayim hashatz chazoras hatfila noflim al pneihem umischananim. And if you take a look at the Beis Yosef, he writes, Poshut bekamim akomos betalmid she noflim al pneihem li'acher hatfila. And this, I believe, is a reference to the Gemara in Bava Metzia that we just saw. And then he quotes the Talmidei HaRashba that we saw quoted in the Ritva, Gabi Uvda de Rabbi Eliezer, Hayamidagdek Rabbeinu Zal, referring to the Rashba, Mikan, She'ein Ledaber Bein Tefila L'Tchina. That you're not allowed to be mafsik between the end of tefillah and tchina. Again, we have to understand, is it the end of Chazor Sashatz, as we saw it here in the tour? What about at the end of his private Shmoneh Esrei?
Let's say, for example, he knows he's going to have to be mafsik. Should he be no filapayim after his still Shmon Esrei? But in any event, getting back to this point, v'hainu damrina kol yomid lo shavik le lemepel al ape v'chintal al datcha shlo hoysa zoza vimenu sha'achas. How would she guarantee that he would not be nofilas al apov el shahaisam afsekes mikavonas tfiloso lafsiko bidvarim bishar dvarim? She was able to distract him. Again, how she did that, I don't know. To make sure that he would not go directly to nefilas apayim after his tfil of eshuv im nofel im hayanofal ponov lohaisa tfiloso kol kach nishmas. It sounds like there would be a possibility of nefilas apayim, but it wouldn't be that original power that's inherent in nefilas apayim. That has to come directly after tefillah without any hefsek. Shamina, we hear from this that ein la hafsek bein tchina litfilah. I'm not sure exactly why he says bein tchina litfilah. I would have said it the other way around, bein tefillah litchina. In any event, then he quotes Gaonim ein l'daber bein tefila l'tchina. That makes more sense to me. Dekula ke'ein tefila arichtehi. Please note those words. You'll find them underlined. The Beis Yosef is giving us the meaning behind this halacha. Why is it so crucial that there be no hefsek after tefila? Because it's all tefila arichtah. Now, he's about to give another approach in the name of the Rivash. We can see that in the original on page 2. And the Rivash was asked a slightly different question. And that is, what's the posture that's necessary for Nefilas Apayim? We, of course, know it to be sitting, a sitting position. But Ha'im Muto Liyachid Lipol Alponov Me'umad. Can he be standing? Standing and, I guess, leaning on his arm. Oshi yitztarech leishev kederech hatzibur sheyoshvim. Well, does he have to join the tzibur and sit? And then he goes on to ask, v'chein hatzibur matam sheheim yoshvim. What's the reason for yeshiva? The Gemara never mentions that the Nefilas Apayim requires yeshiva. But the more important point that I want to make here is that in his response, he writes in the next paragraph, "Davar zesh al nefilas apayim, eino chovas hatfila, el shahaya minhag gam bimei razal." It means it's not a chova, but it's rather a minhag. And he mentions that according to the Gemara in Megillah Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, although it was a widespread custom to do Nefilas Apayim, Rav, for example, was not noheg to be nofal apav. And the Gemara goes into a discussion as to why. But in any event, we see that not everyone had this minhag of Nefilas Apayim. But his second proof is from our Gemara that we started here in Bo Metzia Nun Tesemid Beis, that Ima Sholom was able to prevent Rabbi Eliezer from implementing Nefilas Apayim. Says the Rivash, how was she able to do so? Ima Yomichovas HaTfila, if this was one of the obligations of Tfila Chas V'Sholom, how can you say Shayetzadik Ahu that Rabbi Eliezer Yonimna Mimashi Chova? It's impossible to say that she would distract him from that which he had to do. He wouldn't accept any extraction, diversions. Meaning, you know, somebody tells you have a phone call. Okay, I can't answer the phone call. I'm in the middle of tefillah. If there's a chovah to add nefilas apayim at the end of tefillah, if nefilas apayim, as we saw in the Beis Yosef, based on the Rashba, the Ritva, is one entity with tefillah, then he would not allow himself to be distracted. He would know that he doesn't accept any, there are no phone calls now. Nothing urgent can distract him. But it must be, therefore, that Nefilas Apayim is not a chova. It may be a minog, but it's not a chova.
Maybe it just means that she was trying to distract him enough that his kavana shouldn't be proper. In other words, he'll still say that goes to Payim, but his kavana is not going to be entirely there.
Right, but the only question is, that I assume it's Ellie who's speaking. Yeah. I can't see. I have to work on this technology. I never had trouble, by the way, until today. The Gemara's language is the following. The Gemara says, "V'lo shavka leila mepil al ape." She didn't allow him to be nofel al panav until finally that one day that tragic day, Ashkeche did nofel al ape, that he did fall on apayim, nofel apayim. So the impression you get, at least that's the way I think the Rivash understood it, that she was able to distract him and he wasn't nofel al apav. And the Rivash asks the following question: how would Rabbi Eliezer allow himself to deviate from fulfilling that which is obligatory, that which is part of the Chovas Tefillah? But the answer is that it wasn't a Chova. The Im HaYechova, HaYezariz, he certainly would have been very meticulous about it, Velohaya, and he wouldn't allow her to distract him. However, V'liel Shezeres Shusu Minag B'Alma, he says, Yesh, Yomim Shenogim Bahem Ktas Makomos Benefilos Apayim Makomos Achem Lo Nogu Ken. You may have certain calendar dates where there are those who will have Nefilos Apayim, those who don't. Very interesting, he gives the examples of Chanukah and Purim. And he says that in the yeshiva of Rav Amram Gon, they fell Nefilos Apayim even on Chanukah and Purim. But in the yeshiva of Rav Hai Gon, Lo Ayin Noflim. He gives other examples about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and so forth and so on. He says, why is it that we find so many chilukim in Hagim? And again, in our time, you would say, well, you have chilukim in Hagim about the yard sites of tzaddikim, you know, chassidim. I know in the shul I daven in Har Nof, if I come close to Shkia, I know that there's not going to be nefilas apayim in Mincha. You got to catch an early minyan with the litvaks for that. In any event, the bottom line in the Rivash, again, the Rivash lived about 6 centuries ago, he says, "In Leos Hadom Rishus, since it's only an option, Nefil Sapayim, therefore Kol Mokom Biosom In Hago Nahara Nahara Pashte." It's like a river that splits into tributaries, and you have different Minhagim in different places. So, you know, I give a shiur every morning here in Derech HaLimud, and right now we're covering a topic which is mitzvah chiyuvis versus mitzvah kiyuvis. In other words, there are certain mitzvahs where you're not obligated, but if you go ahead and you fulfill them, then you get schar, you get rewarded for them. There's a kiyuv, a mitzvah without a chiyuv. And I think, according to the Rivash, Nefilas Apayim fits into that category. But it seems quite clear that according to the Rivash, the definition that the Beis Yosef presented based on the Rashba, namely that Nefilas Apayim is part of Tefillah, it's one entity, is incorrect. Nefilas Apayim is a separate, independent entity. Is it an obligation or is it a voluntary? He says it's voluntary, but it's certainly not an integral part of Tefillah. And therefore, based on this assumption, the Rivash writes, Leos HaDover Kein Ein Tzarch LeDagdek. You don't have to be careful about it. In Efsha Ma'umad, he says if you want to do it standing, that's okay. Umasha Nagu Atzibur Miyushav. Lefishu Derech Atzibur B'chol Tfilo Sam Birchol Sam Li Omra Miyushav. Shalol Atriyachas Atzibur Zulas Yudches Bracha. So now it's only in Shmon Esrei do we bother the Tzibur to stand. But for the balance of the tefillos, then we let the tzibur be a little bit more laid back about it and sit down. And the same thing applies to nefilas apayim, insofar as it's not an integral part of tefillah. Avaloi ekpeda b'yeshiva b'nefilas apayim. There was never a kpeda that we have to sit down for nefilas apayim. We can allow you to sit down, but we don't have to require you that you sit down. And he says, Hashliach Tzibur, why is it that the minhag is that the Shliach Tzibur, who recites all his brachas standing, all of a sudden when he gets in the field of Sapayim, he sits down? If there's no requirement to sit down, let him just continue standing and do the field of Sapayim. And he answers, he says, Yesh Lomar, Shemash HaShliach Tzibur Omed Hu Bamesh Omer B'Kol Ram, that the Shliach Tzibur only functions as such as long as he's calling out the tefillos aloud, B'Kol Ram. However, as soon as he shifts his modus, his approach to Lachash, then he's on his own. He's no longer functioning as the shliach of the tzibur. Therefore, he'll join the tzibur, and just like the tzibur is sitting down, he'll sit down. He'll sit down as well. So now, if you go back to the Beis Yosef, which we started with, which is on the bottom of your page 3, he writes Kosav Arivash Betshuva She'ein Lahakbid Benefilas Apayim Sheteye Miyushav V'imrotza Lasoso Miumad Harishus Piyado. Now it's interesting to me that the Beis Yosef at this point doesn't just say, well, the Rivash has a whole different approach and he doesn't accept my premise that it's Ke'en Tfila Richta. He takes the Rivash very seriously, but he says, I would still recommend sitting, and that's because of Chachmei HaKabbalah, that based on Kabbalah it seems that the proper posture is Miyushav. You know, you get the impression that according to the Rivash, the reason why it doesn't matter one way or the other whether you're sitting or you're standing is because it's not part of the Shmon Esrei. And on the contrary, if it was an integral part of Shmon Esrei, you should be standing. But the answer is it's not part of Shmon Esrei, and it's only a Rishus. So it's an independent kiyum that's not integral to Shmon Esrei. And I was hoping that the Beis Yosef would stand up and object to that which it says here in the Rivash. You get the impression he's quoting the Rivash as another viable answer to the question as to why the wife of Rabbi Eliezer was successful in until she wasn't successful in her attempt at staring him from the field of Sapayim. And the answer is because, well, either because there was a hefsek or because it's not a chiyuv at all. I mean, those aren't just two different possible answers to how to understand the Gemara Rabbi Eliezer. These are two fundamentally different understandings of the very nature and the essence of Nefilas Apayin. And therefore, since the Shulchan Aruch, if you take a look on page 4 in Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph, clearly Paskins like the Rashba. And let me read that to you if I can get the page out. And he writes, Ein l'daber bein tefila l'nefila sapayim. And why is that? He says, because nefila sapayim, let's just see it. Okay, I'm not finding it right now. But nefila sapayim is part of tefila, and therefore you cannot have a hefsek between nefila sapayim and tefila. Now, I once heard from my Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, that if a person omits Nefilas HaPayim, then he's not really Yotzei Tefillah. I mean, he's Yotzei Tefillah, but not in the way Tefillah was formulated by Chazal. And I was very excited when I saw this Ritva, because I thought that would, and the Beis Yosef especially, because I thought that would support his position. But now...
But according to the Maisa that happened, the way I understood it, is that, you know, all this time, she was successful only on the day where they didn't say Tachnun was the problem, that it was like Rosh Chodesh or something. So that still implies that he said all those times Tachnun, no? Otherwise,
well, the Gemara says that.
What's the difference that she missed versus the other days?
The day that she messed up was not Rosh Chodesh. She mistakenly thought it was Rosh Chodesh, and therefore she didn't anticipate that he was being no Nefilas HaPayim. Then she came back and she found him in a position in the Nefilas HaPayim, and she said, "Oh no, what's this going to mean to my brother?" And at the end, her brother died. And she attributed that to the fact that her husband had been nofel apayim because she wasn't there to supervise him. She didn't think she had to supervise him and distract him because she was under the misimpression that it was Rosh Chodesh. So if you ever want to...
It's a Soraya that he did say nefilas apayim, no?
No.
Yeah, he said nefilas apayim, but not on Rosh Chodesh. If it had been Rosh Chodesh, he wouldn't have done nefilas apayim.
But we were trying to prove that he's not a chiyuv. That's what we're trying to prove.
The Rivash's proof is that if it was a chiyuv, he never would have allowed himself to be distracted from a chiyuv. That was the Rivash. So therefore the Rivash concludes that it must be, it's a rishus. And in fact, if you take a look in the language of Rav Nedetroy Goen, which is quoted by the Tur, he too seems to accept that approach that it's only a rishus. And therefore, again, as we said before, just to reiterate, the Rivash comes to the conclusion that, you know, there are certain days that we do have minhagim, the others don't have a minhagim. The whole business is totally the minhag, and that's because it's only a rishus, and therefore we're not going to be medagdeik as to whether or not he sits or he stands. And again, as I pointed out to you before, the Beis Yosef wants him to sit, but based on Kabbalah, doesn't seem to be based on halacha. So that's very interesting, the way the Beis Yosef says it. Okay, fine. Now, I mentioned to you before that I found something very fascinating to me. I always heard from my Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, a diuk in the Rambam to prove that Nefilas Apayim is part of Tefillah. And now that I'm looking at olamot.net, which I asked you to look at, on page 5, he quotes somebody by the name of Rav Nosson Zuchovsky, who published a sefer called Dvir HaKodesh in Bnei Brak, Tafshin Samach Gimel. Now, I definitely heard this from the Rav way before Tafshin Samach Gimel. Tafshin Samach Gimel is about 15 years ago. And he writes the following, Yesh lo chiyach miloshen Rambam. Shekosav Rama b'tchilas perkei milchus tefila shmona dvarim tzarech hamispal lizar bahem v'las sosam. There are 8 different dimensions that are related to tefila, and the mispal has to be very careful about them. And the last on the list is hishtachavoya. That's in halacha aleph. And then if you fast forward to halacha yud gimel, the Rambam says explicitly that hishtachavoya is nefilas apayim. So it seems that nefilas apayim is an integral part of tefila. Then the Rambam says that it's not ma'akiv in tefillah, that if you daven without following up with nefilas apayim, you were yotzeh. But that doesn't mean that it's not an integral part of tefillah. And therefore, the Rambam would seem to be, in a sense, the precursor of what we saw in the Beis Yosef, the kula ke'ein tefillah richtahi, that nefilas apayim is an integral part of chovas tefillah. Because the Rambam lists Nefilas Apayim as the last of the 8 things which a mispal has to be careful about. So again, maybe it's Shnei Nevi'im Nisnamu B'Signan Echad, but I heard this from my Rebbe way before this book called Dvir HaKodesh was published. Okay, 2 people came up with the same diuk. That's fine. In any event, he goes on and he wants to know, this I never heard from my Rebbe, what happens if a person didn't daven and now he has to daven a tefillas tashlumin? Okay, that only applies, let's say, in an ones situation. You know, it wasn't that b'mezid he didn't daven. Now he's davening a tefillas tashlumin. So mincha time, he's davening 2 shmona esrei. First he's davening mincha, and now he's davening a bimkom, a tashlumin, for shakos. He wants to know, is there a requirement of nefilas apayim after his 2nd tefillah? And he says, why not? He says, if we're coming to the conclusion and we're defining the nefilas apayim as an integral part of tefillah, then every tefillah requires nefilas apayim. And this, Rabbi Bosai, is going to be very important to us, because if this be the case, then nefilas apayim has nothing to do with tefillah b'tzibur. A lot of people misunderstand and they think, when I'm davening with a tzibur, then when the Shliach Tzibur finishes his Chazaras HaShatz, Shachris, or Mincha, now I have to be Nofel Apayim. But if there's no Shatz and there's no Tzibur, then there's no Nefilas Apayim. But that's not true, because Nefilas Apayim is an integral part of tefillah, it's a tefillah arichtai. If that be the case, I don't need the tzibur. And again, hold on to your horses, because this is going to be a segue into my next question about when is the proper moment for nefilas apayim. Because as we said before, b'toras tefillah arichta, there should be no hefsek between tefillah and nefilas apayim. Now, I'm not saying that chazoras hashatz is a hefsek, for sure not. But what happens in the case of a person who, for one reason or another, he has to be mafsik? Let's say he knows he's going to have to go to here or to there, whatever it might be. Then would we advocate in such a case that he should be nofel apayim immediately after Shmoneh Esrei? In other words, after his still a Shmoneh Esrei. And the way we're seeing it now, we may have an answer to that question. But before we get to that, I want to show you the language here of the Mishnah Brura, which you'll see on page 4. This is Simon Kuflam and Aleph Sivkot and Aleph. And he quotes the Achronim. He says, as far as Ein Ledaber Bein Tefilu and Nefilu Sapayim, Dafka Kishe Mafsik V'Osek B'Dvar Macherim L'Gamre V'Alsicha B'Almo Leslan Ba V'Kolshkein D'Ledaber Shebekedusha K'Gon Shemafsikim B'Tchinos K'Gon V'Urachum B'Vadei Mutala Hafsik. Now, part of this I understood. We add a whole bunch of things to the post Chazor Sashatz before we actually do Nefilas Apayim. When I say we, it all depends upon your minuk. But certainly, it's quite common amongst Ashkenazic Jews that after Chazor Sashatz, we start with a whole long, you know, prayer called Tchinos. And only afterwards do we fall Nefilas Apayim. So that I understood that the Mishnah Brura is presenting a very logical thesis, namely that this is not called a hefsek, because at the end of the day, Tachnun is Trina, and all these paragraphs that we add after Shmoneh Esrei are Trinos. But what I don't understand is, what does he mean when he says that the problem of Hefsek is only Bidvarim Acherim Legamre? You know, he talks about the latest Taki scores, I don't know what. Aval Sicha Bialma Leslan Ba. And then he goes on to speak about Dover Shib Kedusha and Tchinos. I don't know. Rabosai, please correct me if you know that I'm wrong. My impression in Kol Tarkula is that Sicha Bialma is a hefsek. Let's say, for example, I shecht an animal. And now I want to shecht the second animal, and I don't want to make a second bracha. So the halacha is that if there was no hefsek Sicha, then I don't have to make a new bracha. So, and even if there's a hefsek, but I ask you for a knife, or a sharpen the knife, or something along that sense, so it's me'ein ashchita, that's not called a hefsek, but sicha bi'alma should be a hefsek. So I'm not sure if you have any insight into this Mishnah Brura. Then he writes, Gam mutar lanos omen yesh me rabba v'chol dover shebegedusha. In other words, let's say, for example, you know, there are two minyanim going on, and you hear both minyanim, and you're about to do nefilas apayim, but one minyan is up to kedusha or up to kaddish, so you're allowed to respond. And it seems that even though we have a halach of tefillah richta, and that's where the Mishnah Brura is coming from over here in Simon Kuflam and Aleph, where it says Ein Ledaber Bein Tefillah and Nefilas Apayim, which we saw in the Beis Yosef, is because it's a Tefillah Richta, but nevertheless, it's not exactly a Tefillah Richta. You know, we would never say to a person in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, he's allowed to respond, you Heshmei Rava, or to Kedusha, or to introduce Tchinos in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. That would certainly be a Hefsek. So again, I don't know exactly how to define the lumpness here. You really need a very sharp knife. It's part of tefillah, but it's not part of tefillah. It's an addendum to tefillah, perhaps an extension to tefillah, but it's not tefillah per se. And the proof is that he says even sicha bi'alma is okay. And if he's answering kedusha and kaddish, fine. That's wonderful. So you see that if, even though, despite the fact that it's tefillah richta, it's not exactly tefillah. And if the Bali Kabbalah say that the proper posture for nefilas apayim is yeshiva, then you already begin to think that maybe it's not exactly tefillah, because tefillah by definition requires amida lifnei hashchina. That's how the Rambam defines tefillah at the very beginning of Hilchas Tefillah, that he's omed umispal lifnei hamakom, lifnei hashchina. Now, on a philosophical level, just on the side, there are two types of tefillah. You know, there's one type of tefillah where you feel you're very important and you're standing in front of God and you give yourself a pat on the back because you're the Yetzir Kapov, you're the greatest, most glamorous creation of the entire universe. You can stand in dialogue with Hashem. You can even initiate that dialogue whenever you start Shmon Esrei. And Hashem is there listening. Baruch atah Hashem shomea tefillah. So man is great. On the other hand, man is a very lowly being. You know, he's mortal. He's here today and gone tomorrow. He's full of anguish and anger. So how does man stand in front of God in prayer? And the answer is there are two different postures. And this is very famous, you know, I'm sure you all heard in the name of the Kotzker Rebbe, he used to say, why is it that a vest has two pockets? One on the right and one on the left. And the Kotzker Rebbe used to say that in one pocket we put the pasuk, "Vatchasreinu mi'atem Elokim," man is just a little less than God, and in the other pocket he puts the pasuk, "Anochi afar va'efer," and maybe that reflects on the two postures of tefillah. Man is on the one end, he's like a sar, he's like a vassal in the king's court, and he stands there, you know, like a knight in shining armor, and he's in front of the king. On the other hand, after man finishes his Shmon Esrei, he realizes that he's nothing. He's not a speck of dust in the universe in front of God. And therefore he falls completely on his face, which literally means the Tefillah HaSapayim, Anochi Ofar Va'efer. But here I want to quote to you a Sefer on page 6, which is called Olas Cohen. That's Rav Chanoch Cohen. He's here in Yerushalayim. And he writes, Mishum sha'af heichon shehifsik bidvarim mikol makom chashiv hemshech hatfilah. I believe that he's trying to answer our question. I don't know how he succeeds in doing so, but he's trying to answer this Mishnah Brura in the name of the Achronim, that even if you are mafsik, you can still be mekayim the mitzvah of nefilas apayim. And why? He says because it's considered a hemshech hatfilah. The af shelachatchila niskan lomers hatachnun somach l'tefilah. So certainly, if you want to generate a tefilah richta, there's no room for discussions here between tefilah and nefilas apayim. But he says mikol makom af im lo somach es hatachnun l'tefilah is yomar hatachnun shelo b'toras tefilah arichta. And clearly he's using a brisker methodology here, that it's very dinim. And maybe this would justify why the Beis Yosef quotes both the Ritva and the Rivash in one breath without pointing out that they're mutually exclusive. No, they're really tzvei dinim in the Nefilas Apayim, meaning the optimum ideal of Nefilas Apayim is Tefillah Richta. But there is a possibility of kiyum of Nefilas Apayim not as a Tefillah Richta, but as a separate independent form or kiyum of Tefillah. And he writes, the Hachavadei ain lo mashuk Tefillah Richta. Certainly, he says that if he was mafsik, it's no longer Tefillah Richta. But nevertheless, it still is valid. And he says, Nafkamida milo omar bitfila shachris tachnun im yomar achra tfila. He wants to know, what does a person do if he went through the entire tfila shachris and he never implemented nefila sapayim? Can he just do a separate nefila sapayim after shachris? And he says, Vadai ain lomar shu tfila richta. He's already finished his shachris. But nevertheless, he says, "Kevon detachnu lo nitkan dafka ba'ofen shel tefillah richta." That's not the exhaustive, exclusive way of fulfilling the tefillah sapayim. He could do it even through non-tefillah richta. Yeshlomer diyashlim nefillah sapayim afli achar tefillah. And Rabosa, I have to tell you honestly, I never saw this. I don't know if anybody can tell me they ever saw this, that a person gets up after davening and he does the Nefil Sapayim. But according to this Rav Chanoch Cohen, who seems to be a Bar Samcha, he says there is such an institution as the Nefil Sapayim, which is not a Tefillah Arichta. He's already completed his Tefillah. And therefore he says, you don't, you, if you have Smichus Nefil Sapayim with Tefillah, that's wonderful, because then you have the ideal Nefil Sapayim as Tefillah Arichta. But if you don't, you still have a fallback position of Nefil Sapayim, which is not a Tefillah Arichta. And maybe that becomes an optional kind of thing, the way that we saw in the Rivash. Then he goes on to wonder whether or not he should be Someich Nefilas Apayim to Tefilas Lachash or to Tefilas Chazaras HaShatz. V'nafkemina kishetzarech lahafsik b'dibur, he knows that he has to do a hefsek. Should he, number one, recite Nefilas Apayim miyad liachash imasayim tefilasa b'lachash, or no, he should wait until after Chazaras HaShatz, and then he should be Nofel Apayim, even though he's going to be Mafsik in between. And basically what he's saying is that now that we've established that Nefilas Apayim could exist as a separate independent entity even after Hefsek, and it's not a Tefillah Richta, then we understand very well that even if he was Mafsik B'dibur, but he doesn't want to be, you know, so to speak, Parish Menat Tzibur, he wants to do Nefilas Apayim together with the Tzibur, and therefore, even despite the Hefsek, he will postpone his Nefilas Apayim until after Chazaras HaShatz. And he says that it would seem from the Mishnah Berurah that that's exactly what he should do. He should wait until Tefilas HaShatz, and even though, as the Mishnah Berurah pointed out, he was Mafsik B'Sicha, nevertheless he still obtains the Kiyum of Nefilas Apayim. But again, when we go back to the Shulchan Aruch, who writes Ein L'daber Bein Nefilas Apayim L'Tefilah, you know, you really get the impression that we should not have any situation of Hefsek, and maybe according to the Shulchan Aruch, which is largely based on the Rashba and the Ritva, if we have no option, maybe we should be Nofel Apayim after the Shtila Shmon Esrei, after Tefilas Lachash. Now, again...
What is the understanding, and I think I know what the answer is, but when the Lashon of Tefillah Arichta is mentioned here in this context, are we talking about just general Tefillah? Or does Tefillah mean Shmon Esrei?
No, Tefillah here means Shmon Esrei, specifically. Yeah.
It is Shmon Esrei.
Yeah, it's Shmon Esrei, yeah.
For sure there's no Hefsek.
So that's what I'm telling you, that you and I would have said for sure there can't be any Hefsek, and that's exactly what the Mechaber says, Ein L'daber Bein Nefil Sapayim L'Tefilah. But yet, the Achronim, this is much later than the Shulchan Aruch, many centuries later, they propose the possibility that you can be Mafsik. Again, we're not encouraging you to do so, but if need be, you could be Mafsik and still obtain this concept called Nefilas Apayim. Now, what does that mean? How do you link up your Nefilas Apayim to the Tefillah if in between there was a Hefsek? And the answer is, at least according to this Rav Chanoch Cohen, in his Olas HaKohen, maybe we should buy the Sefer, you know, add it to the library, to the Joseph Edel Library. Maybe he's saying something that would really put a lot of what we've discussed in a beautiful perspective, that there is a fallback position in Nefilas Apayim, meaning that Nefilas Apayim does not necessarily have to be a Tefillah Richta, but it could be a new mode of Tefillah that stands independently on its own two feet. And even if it's not attached to my Tefillah, it's a separate Tefillah. Ad kedei kach, that he's talking about reciting Nefilas Apayim after the entire Shacharis, Ribono Shel Olam. You know, imagine on a Monday or a Thursday, you know, from the Nefilas Apayim until Shacharis being over, well, not in Clayton Park, but anyway, in some shuls, it may take, you know, it may take quite a while until we get to the end of Shacharis, you know. But I want to dedicate this year in memory of Mr. Tobias, by the way, all the shalom. In any event, so we see something radical here that would sort of put things into perspective, because as I said before, I'm totally baffled by the Beis Yosef's presentation. He starts with the Rashba, and he says it's tefillah richta, and it's all part of one tefillah, and you can't be mafsik, and that's why she, the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, was able to successfully distract him, and she knew that during the course of the day he would not implement the tefillah sapayim. How could she do such a thing? Maybe at some point during the day he would be no falapayim. The answer is because it's tefillah richta. And yet on the other hand, in the same breath, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rivash, who takes an entirely different approach. And he says, Adarabba, there is such a thing as the tefillah sapayim even after a hefsek, but that's only because the tefillah sapayim is a reshus. It's a minhag, and it stands on its own. I mean, if that be the case, then you just threw the entire presentation of the Rashba overboard. And how can the Beis Yosef present the two? He only argues one point. He says that he thinks that although the Rivash might be right, al pi halacha, we don't care whether he stands, whether he sits, but al pi kabbalah, he should be sitting. It sounds like he's accepting the Rivash, which is very strange. How can you accept the Rivash after you made a big push for the Rashba, who says it's tefillah richta? And I think, according to this Rav Chanoch Cohen, I'm very, I look at the Beis Yosef now with a whole different perspective, that maybe Enochi Navi, there are two different modes, if you will, of fulfilling the tefillah sapayim. There's the ideal mode, which would be advocated by the Rashba, namely tefillah richta. But there's also a fallback position of the Rivash, and that's also justified, of the tefillah sapayim as an independent tefillah that stands on its own. And now we can begin to allow for all sorts of stretching the ropes a little bit. We can say, all right, he could have a hefsek, all right, he could do it at the end of tefillahs hashatz, even though he was mafsik before, maybe even at the end of shachris. All this becomes possible in the framework of these, what I call these tzvei didim, or two categories, two definitions of nefilas apayim. So I know it's getting late, and I can't tell you whether you're there or you're not. So, anybody who has to leave, you don't have to apologize, because I wouldn't know the difference.
It's Bobby here. The interesting thing is that in school, I remember being taught specifically that if you missed the Nefilas HaPayim, there was some hefsek, you lost it.
That's because you were davening in Talpiot. That's your problem with your school. But I'm just kidding. So again, for anyone who can, for anyone who could stay.
No, but if you're mafsik between tefillah, like Chazarsa shots, and you didn't say the tefillah HaPayim right away, you lost it.
Yeah, that's the way I was trained as well, Bobby. And because the Rav used to hack it into us that Nefilah Sapayim is part of Tefillah. The Rav, Zichron Levracha, was amongst those old-time Litvaks who couldn't tolerate this laid-back attitude towards Nefilah Sapayim. That every Mutik and Darnishtik, they leave out,
literally.
It's a yard site for this, and it's a dust, and then they, for example, the Shulchan Aruch writes that on Erev, on Mincha of Tu B'Shvat, that means on the 14th of Shvat, there's no Nefilah Sapayim, because it's Erev Tu B'Shvat. The Rav said, I was there more than once, and the Rav did Nefilas HaPayim on Erev Tu B'Shvat.
Right.
Yom Atzma'ut, the Rav had the strangest minhag. This was not the minhag of his brother Abaron, by the way. But his minhag was to do Nefilas HaPayim on Yom Atzma'ut, and then say Hallel. Again, it was a knapper Hallel. It was half Hallel without a brach at the end of davening, which is like just...
That was a change from the original Haggadah, though. That wasn't the way he always did it. Well, there was one time in 1978, he said he's doing that, because he did it in a dormitory meeting or something, but before that, he always left that touching completely.
Oh, he did leave out Tachlin. Oh,
yeah. I, story, yeah,
I'm trying to remember back in my day. I came to the Shia in 1973. I think he was still, he was already saying the philosophy. But be that as it may, trust me on this. It, to convince the Rav to leave out the Nefilas HaPayim was not an easy matter. He took it very seriously, both on a halachic level and I think on a philosophical level. Hashkafically, he saw it halachically as a tefillah rikta. By the way, he saw Hashem svasai tiftach and olkai. Well, what do we say at the end of davening? Right, all that for the Rav was the tefillah rikta. And he felt that, like the minig of the Beis Yosef, that the Shliach Tzibur should say Hashem Svasai Tiftach out loud because it's an integral part of tefillah. So there were many things which the Rav was very careful about with regard to tefillah because he felt that they were integral to tefillah. But again, since we're running out of time, I just want to, under the, you know, if I could get in under the bell here, another sefer that he quotes here from Avram Fischel Stein, I'm not familiar with him, but also a very recent sefer, and it's called Avodas Ephraim, because his name was Ephraim, and you'll see this on page 8, and he writes that B'dover Dai Shchiach B'Zmanim. He says, "Sharavim trudim biyoser ala michyav ala kalkolu memarim lotzeis mibeis hakneses ubeles brera heimispalim bechis pozon es tfilas halachas ubiyad mamshichim betfilas and lomar ashrei lamenatzechu volitzion omenichim tfilin derabim derabenu tam viomrim es aparshios anahugos v'rak kishim esayim ashatz es hachazoras shmon esrei heimitztarfim yachin matzibu lomar tach." He says he finds it very odd, but he says it's quite a common phenomenon. Again, I haven't seen it myself, that there are people who are in such a rush to get to work that what they do is they very quickly daven. He calls it b'chipazon, the tefillas hashatz. Again, the rest of the tzibur is still saying tefillas hashatz. They finish early, one of these real quick shmon esreis, and then they recite Ashrei, they recite Lamanatzeach, Uvolitzion, and if they are of the ilk of Minig Rabbeinu Tam, they put on Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, they say all the Parshios, and so forth and so on. And then, when the Shliach Tzibur catches up, because he finishes Shmon Esrei, at that point they join up with the Tzibur, and they recite Tachnun. Very interesting, I never saw this. Uperusha shall dover, he says, shall a maisa heim if siku ben shmonesu le tachnun, but tfiloshes palu. They have a gigantic long chunks of tefillah, which are wedged in between their private shmonesrei and the tefillas nefilas apayim. He says, v'nafshi b'sheilasi im nochon adover lasos kein olo. He has great hesitations and reservations about this because he thinks that it's got to be in some way connected to your tefillah, and even though we wait for the shots to finish, but that's all part of tefillah. But here, in the meantime, he's Ashrei Uvolitziah, and he's putting on tefillin Shorabeni Tam, he's reading Parshis of the Torah, and then he's going to recite Nefilas Apayim. So he says the following, he says, B'derech Haroi Mutalom Tefilos Mizmorim. He says, maybe we can find a heter, if he's doing it on an infrequent basis, and he says it should not be his minhag kavua. But then he discussed this with other rabbis, and he says yesh mishomer, he doesn't identify this rabbi, but he says sha'af mutlo lilmo divrei Torah b'peh afilu b'iyun. He can manage to take out a gemara and read the sugyas out loud. And all this is because he has this chunk of time, because he's Speedy Gonzalez, until the shots finally finishes the Chazara. And all this is because Ein Lomar Tachnun Lifnei Chazaras HaShatz. He wants to say Tachnun together with the Tzibur. And again, it's not clear to me from the tshuva here, from Ephraim Stein accepts this opinion, but he certainly presents it as a very powerful and convincing opinion that Nefilas Apayim should be implemented together with the entire tzib. We're at the end of Chazaras HaShatz. There should be one moment, you know, when the shotgun goes off, the bell rings, that everybody together should be reciting the Nefilas Apayim. And I think Rabosai, it's fascinating to me because, in a sense, he's grabbing onto the rope from two different ends. What do I mean? On the one end, he's basically saying that he doesn't understand why they're reciting all this stuff in the middle and that's creating such a hefsek to their own personal tefillah. Meaning that he's maintaining that position, waving that flag, that Nefilas Apayim is tefillah richta. But on the other hand, he's saying, if all things are equal, the most important element here is to attach the Nefilas Apayim to the Chazaras HaShatz so that you recite Nefilas Apayim together with the entire tzibur, not as a separate entity. And I think perhaps what he means to say here is, yes, tefillah arichta, but tefillah arichta b'toras tzibur, meaning it's not the tefillah arichta of the yachid, that's not the perfect way of fulfilling the Nefilas Apayim, but rather the Nefilas Apayim becomes such a holy, you know, davar shebikdusha that it should be attached to the entire tzibur. And somehow, by attaching my Nefilas Apayim to the tzibur, I fulfill a separate kiyum. In other words, originally, let me just say this very quickly, back in the day when not everyone was a bucky and not everyone knew the Siddur by heart, they didn't have printed Siddurim, so the Chazaras HaShatz was simply a technique and a mechanism to guarantee that everyone would have tefillah. But later on, when history moved and there were plenty of Siddurim for everybody, what was Chazaras HaShatz? And this I heard many times from my Rebbe, that Chazaras HaShatz takes on a whole new meaning. It's not just technical to be motzi the Ein Baki, but it's an entirely different kind of tefillah. And the tefillah is enhanced because it's the tefillah of the entire tzibur. And now, insofar as Nefilas Apayim is tefillah richta, we want to integrate Nefilas Apayim into that entity called tefillas hatzibur. And how do we do that? By attaching our Nefilas Apayim, when I say our, the entire congregation together in unison, to the end of Chazaras HaShatz, now the entire tzibur has fulfilled the perfect ideal tefillah that consists of two different elements. Number one, the element of Shmoneh Esrei. Number two, the element of Nefilas Apayim. That's what I think he's presenting. Yeah.
So, can I just ask, so what happens, I always thought there was an inyan, if you daven Nusach Sfard and they daven Nusach Ashkenaz, or vice versa, do you do your own, or do you do the tzibur's?
Is there a radical difference between the two? I'm not familiar. You're talking about which chapter you mean the different minhag about which chapter in Tehillim you should recite? Is that what you mean?
The timing of it.
No, it's not just the timing. It's also they don't.
That's really timing.
They don't have
Again, you know, there are different minhagim as far as the tchinos. There are different about vuhurachu. There are different minhagim as far as when to say what. But I don't think that those. You know, we've already established in the Mishnah Brura that all those tchinos are nothing like a hefsek. They're part and parcel of the ultimate pinnacle tchina, which is tachnun, which is the Nefilas Apayim. So I don't care one way or the other whether you want to say all those tchinas before the Nefilas Apayim, after the Nefilas Apayim. The main point here is, according to this Rabbi Ephraim Fishel, is that the entire tzibur be nofel apayim together. Again, how are you going to accomplish that the Nefilas Apayim will be attached to the Chazaras HaShatz? That's not a problem, because anything that we add or subtract in the middle is fine, because all those trinos are, shall we say, integrated into one whole, and they don't form a hefsek. But the main thing is that just like the shatz, and I don't care whether you're Ashkenaz, Sfarad, or whatever you are, but the shatz is repeating in Shmoneh Esrei for everyone in the congregation. There may be Syrian Jews in the congregation, there may be Tunisian Jews in the congregation, and there may be good old Vuzvuzim in the congregation. I couldn't care less. But the shatz is reciting a Shmoneh Esrei in which the entire community as one entity, as one congregation, participates in that tefillah, and he's saying this, Rav Fishel, the same thing should apply with regard to the tefillah sapayim, because insofar as the tefillah sapayim is an integral part of tefillah, the entire community as a tzibur should be reciting the tefillah sapayim. Again, Ira, I couldn't care less which minhag you have, and but as long as you can synchronize, you're in the tefillah sapayim. Now, if that means that you're in trouble because your minhag is minhag sfarad, and you want to say all these burachums after the tefillah sapayim, and or faked, and you want to do it before the tefillah sapayim, okay, you're gonna have to get, you know, become a little bit more liberal and a little less rigid about your minhag, because the ultimate goal is that there be a bell that goes off. And that bell has to synchronize, has to coincide with the end of the Tfilas Hashatz. And at that point, the entire congregation is being Mekayim the Tfilas Hashatz. Did I answer your question, Ira? I don't know.
Yeah, answered the question, I think. Just a couple of points here, Berzon.
Yeah.
First of all, in Clanton Park,
yeah,
we have a minute called Minik Sturm, named after Heshy Sturm.
Okay.
just so you know, he's always in a hurry.
Okay.
So according to Minhag Sturm, you say Tachlin right after the Stille Shmein Esrei. Just so you know, like it's so we have a different minhag in Clanton Park, but I don't know.
So look, here's what I want to say about Minhag Sturm. I want to say the following. There's Minhag Sturm before Rebbe Chaim Fishel, and there's Minhag Sturm after Rebbe Chaim Fishel. Meaning, if not for this particular chiddush, I would say the following. If you're in a rush, the best idea is Minhag Sturm, you know, and you should daven Nefilas Sapayim after your Shtil Shmon Esrei.
Right.
But now that I see this Rav Ephraim Fishel, and I'm not telling, you know, Heshy that he has to bow down to Rav Ephraim Fishel, but I think he should, you know, learn it and see, you know, the pluses and the minuses.
Right.
There's a whole new dimension that's being added into the equation here, and that is to have the entire tzibur recite the Tefillas Hapayim as one in unison. Now, if Heshy can't, you know, if he's gone, you know, because he's got a child to take care of, you know, before the shots finishes, you know, gets, you know, until before the tzibur recites the Tefillas Hapayim, then there's nothing to talk about. Then in that case, I would advocate and rah rah rah, he's doing the exact thing that I would have told him to do and recite the Tefillas Hapayim right after his Tefillah Belachash. But if he still has a little bit of room of time space in which he can fly out of there after the end of Tefillas Hashatz, if you follow what I'm saying, then I would say to him, Tzarech Iyun, maybe we should rethink this. You know, I'm in favor, I don't know, you know, Bobby, there are different people have different hashkafas on this, but from the place that I come from, I love the idea, again, within parameters, of thinking about the halacha, investigating it, and changing things. You know, I think I told you many times this story about why I told my children to wear a talis before they got married, you know, even though it's not my minhag. Again, I had to get permission from my father, but that's my ashkaf. You know, some people, you can't change a minhag, you know, you can't even.
Right.
But in this case, when I saw this, and it was like the culmination of everything we've been building up to about this concept of Tefillah Richta, I get very excited because I said to myself, you know what? If there's a concept of Tefillah Richta, maybe there's a concept of Tefillah Satzibur Arichta, and then we should be all part of it.
That's a nice, beautiful idea. Can I ask two unrelated questions?
Sure.
First of all, when you are davening in the Nusach Ashkenaz Minyan and Nusach Sfard, so you don't say Hashem Hashem, do you individually, can you say that or not?
No.
I think it doesn't. If I'm not mistaken, I have to, you know, take a refresher course. But I think you need a tzibur for that. I think.
But
you know what, Bobby? I think even if you need a tzibur for it, they allow you to read it from a chumash.
Right now, if you lane it, that I heard.
If you lane it with Tami Amikra.
Then you can.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's exactly. No gear. Also, that, by the way, your question is relevant to Slichos also.
Right.
Like, let's say I can't make it to the Sibur on Slichos. You know, what do I do with the culmination of each of the Slichos, which is the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim? So they say, either you say from the Siddur, from a Chumash, with Tamiyam Mikra.
The second question is, when you're up, you need a Torah, a Sefer Torah for Nefilas HaPayim?
Ooh, on that I have a whole long section. So let me ask you this. If you have access to this olamot.net, then if you want to make a note of it, this is an article which is on page 4 in Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph that we've been studying in Sif Beis Nefil Sapayim Yusha V'lo Ma'umad. And the Ramah adds, Yesh Omer De'ein Nefil Sapayim El B'mokom She'yesh Aron V'Sefer Torah B'Socho V'lo Zeh Omrim T'china B'lo Kisui Panim V'chein Noagim. So the Ramah codifies this minhag that if there's no Aron in Sefer Torah B'socho, then, although Sefer Torah is enough, then we don't do the full-fledged Nefil Sapayim, but rather we do a Techina below Kisui Panim. Now, some poskim want to say that it's enough if there are Sfarim, and you don't need a Sefer Torah Mamish, but Shar Sfarim are also fine. Others say no, you need a Sefer Torah. But B'makom she'esh Sefer Torah l'kuli alma afilu yachid b'beiso nofel al panav. So you could have Nefil Sapayim in a house without a tzibur and without an Aron Kodesh as long as there's a Sefer Torah. But yet, the Ramah says that there is a tchina below kisui panim in the case of the absence of a Sefer Torah. And the Mishnah Berurah adds a comment here, hu nefilas apayim shalonu, meaning our nefilas apayim is kisui panim. And he's saying that that should be left out if there's no Sefer Torah. In the Sefer I mentioned earlier, Dvir HaKodesh, he has a suffix with regard to Tefillas Nedava, and he comes to the conclusion that since the Mogen Avraham paskins that there's a Nefilas Apayim after Tefillas Tashlumin, which means that Nefilas Apayim is an add-on to Tefillah, to Tefillah Richter, therefore even in the case of Tefillas Nedava, Nefilas Apayim, insofar as it's part of Etzema Tefillah, should be a requirement. Because Tefillas Nedava is a Tefillah, and the Tefillas Apayim applies whenever you have a Cheftesol Tefillah. I'm not sure logically what the significance of the Sefer Torah is, but I do want to read to you a paragraph here from Piskei Tshuvos. That's number 13 in your list. And he writes, on the words of the Shulchan Aruch, Ein Nefil Sapayim El B'mokom She'esh Aron B'Sefer Torah B'Socha V'hu Adin Sefer Torah L'Chud. That was the Mishnah Berurah at home, you have a Sefer Torah. And he writes, Kevan She Nefil Sapayim Shalonu Eino B'Nefila Arza Ki B'Zmaneim. Our Nefil Sapayim is only a mirror image, but it's not the original Nefil Sapayim. We're not going to fall prostrate ourselves on the ground. We only fall on our arm. Eina ela zechel nefilas apayim dizmenehem. It's only a zechel adavid. Lachain gam kishiyesh sefer Torah pasul. V'chein nagu lahakel becheder shiyesh sifrei kodesh. Ukmochem beis hakneses shiyesh am aron kodesh. Ach hasefer Torah lo nimtza sham nechshash gneiva. So that there's an Aron Kodesh, but it has no Sefer Torah in it. They bring in the Sefer Torah when it's necessary, otherwise they keep it up lock and key somewhere. In all these cases, we're going to have Nefilas Apayim. So that we see that with this this requirement of a Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh, there's a lot of room for leniency. He says, "Ein chashash klal lechanech yelodi b'talmude Torah b'nefil sapaim af im ein b'chedesham shesham mispalim sifrei kodesh." So they're in a classroom and there's no sifrei kodesh, but l'tzor chinuch is yesh l'smoch ala beis Yosef sheitiru nefil sapaim b'chol inyan. So again, if there's a vicinity which has Sifrei Kodesh, that seems to be okay. And he talks in the next paragraph about a cheder that's samuch lebeis Knesses, and he has a discussion here in which he says that that should be okay. He has a case of Ezra's Noshim v'omed neged achalon v'achalon pasuach. As long as there's some opening or window to the Beis HaKnesses where there's a Sefer Torah, that's okay. And he says that Sifrei Kodesh is okay as well. So that you'll see here on page 13. Okay, Rabosa, we'll conclude it here. There's a lot more to talk about here in these 13 pages, but we did whatever we could for the time being.